But he gets fired and he leaves. David was unjustly fired. And so then, 1 Samuel 31 through 6 is our next section that's coming up. And so David leaves, right? David and his men reach Ziklag and on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev of Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it and taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off. Oh my goodness, I'm going to strangle you. And they went on their way. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found that it had been destroyed, and their wives and sons and daughters had been taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until there was no strength, and they left to weep. David's two wives had been captured. Yada, yada, there's their names. David was greatly distressed. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of their sons and daughters have been kidnapped. Got it? Recap time, because you were too busy doing whatever you do. He gets fired. They go back to the land where they were living. Unjustly fired, thank you. Kind of a bummer start to your day, to your week. They go back to their homeland. They had found that it had been raided and burned. Kind of the second kind of bummer part to your week. Found out their wives and children had been kidnapped. Kind of an also bummer thing. And then the icing on the cake was that David's men wanted to stone him. Anybody ever been stoned? I don't want to know the answer to that question. Has anybody ever had a rock thrown at them? It hurts like golly. It's the worst. I can't imagine dying that way. It might be one of the worst ways. So David was having a bummer of a week, right? Sometimes the journey that we go on in the unknown, it kind of sucks, right? Waiting kind of sucks because we don't know exactly where we're going. We don't know exactly what the end destination is. And sometimes bummer things happen along the way. Would you guys agree with me? You look at David's life, he was a good guy. We looked at David as one of the people in the Bible. He's like one of our big like Bible superheroes. And he had a rough week. But that wasn't the end of the story. And then in the next verse, it says, but David found his strength in the Lord. That is huge. A lot of times when we're having a bummer week, I choose to go pout. I choose to go and just cry. I don't cry that often, but like, you know, it's like, I don't want to do anything. I'm just going to go take a nap. I'm going to go play video games. I'm just going to binge watch 30 Rock on TV. And it just is like, I don't want to do anything. But David, in his time of mourning and weeping and all of this, he found his strength in the Lord. They ended up getting everything back later in the story. But there was a key turning point in that where David found his strength in the Lord. And that is something that I really want to like focus on tonight. Because oftentimes I've heard it said that the Lord won't give you more than you can handle. Has anybody ever heard that before? A couple people have. I think that's garbage. I don't think that's true. I think the Lord constantly gives us more than we can handle. Because when God gives us more than we can handle, that's when we can finally put our trust and our hope in him. Does that make sense? Look at me. I don't want you guys to be completely silent. Just stop distracting me. God constantly gives us more than we can handle, because that's when God can thrive. God thrives in our inadequacies. God is strong in our weaknesses. And it is then that we can truly trust him. Because there are so many times where I am like, I'm good at this. I don't need God's help. I can do it on my own. But it's when I have no idea what I'm doing. It is when I feel like I'm caring way too much. It's when I feel like I'm about to give up, when I finally turn to God, and that's when God can come through big time. Right? Yeah. It's huge. God used these trials, this just one trial in David's life, to develop him. God used this trial to bring him closer to him and use this trial to lay the foundation for what he would later do in his life, what he could accomplish. But sometimes, guys, the process sucks. Waiting sucks. Because we want this end goal. God gives us a dream. He gives us a vision. We all have something, right? I want to be an astronaut. I want to be a disco DJ. I want to be an NFL player. I want to be a beauty salon thing. I want to be a lawyer. We have these dreams and we have these desires. I want to impact the world. I want to play music. But oftentimes, we have this vision, we have this goal in mind, but we forget that there's steps that we need to take to get there. It doesn't start with dream and then end result. There's a process along the way. And sometimes it sucks, and sometimes it's hard because of a couple things. It sucks because it takes a while. It's not instant. So often, we just want things that are instant. I won't even order DVDs off of Netflix because it won't come to me instantly. It's painful. You get stretched. You get given more than you can handle. You get weighed down throughout the process with pessimism. You give up. You're just like, is it even worth it? Shame comes in. Guilt comes in. Depression. You get lazy. You get lethargic through it. But you're just like, it's going to take a while. I don't know if I really want this. And it's in that time that we choose to settle. And we start settling for what's second best or what comes easy. Have you guys ever heard, like, whatever is worth it doesn't necessarily come easy? Anybody? Mm-hmm. Ian has. Thank you, Ian, for being responsive now. So how do we make progress throughout the process? Hey, Robbie, I want to have you come up now. Would that be all right? Just to give me a little behind-the-scenes music. So how do we make progress throughout the process? Because I've laid the groundwork of how waiting can suck and how we can grow tired and weary throughout the process. How can we thrive in it, and how can we make progress in it? It all starts with having intimacy with God. Now, what that means is that you have a real relationship with Him. Intimacy is not coming to church on Wednesday night and singing worship songs and playing a game and occasionally, you know, like saying hello to somebody that you haven't met before. Intimacy with God starts on your own, and no one can make you do it. It can only happen with your own initiative. And sometimes it's hard, and sometimes you don't know what's going to happen. It starts with intimacy with God, and that means getting alone with Him. Sometimes you have to be quiet. I have a hard time being quiet because I love talking so much. I love having fun with other people. You have to get alone with God. Maybe it's in your bedroom. First thing that you get up in the morning. It starts with intimacy. The second thing that you need to do is be real with yourself. So many times we feed ourselves just lies and crap, that we are all right, that we're going to make it on our own strength when we can't. If you can't be honest with yourself and where you are, it's going to be a hard path to take. So tonight, there's one thing I want to do. I want some of the leaders, and by some of the leaders, I mean the leaders that are here, just to come up and like line the sides of the stage. And if you, I want any student that feels kind of just like down, weighed down by life or decisions or just life in general, anything, I want you to come up to one of the leaders and I just want them to pray for you. You don't even have to tell them anything that's going on with your life. I just want them to pray for you. Robbie's just going to play a little song. And I encourage anybody that's here to do it. Just to go up, find a leader, pray with them. And I want to challenge you guys over this summer to get intimate with God, to get away with Him. You have all the time in the world this summer to get intimate with Him. Don't waste it. That's how you're going to get through the process. It's not going to be fun always. There'll be lots of fun times. But we're just going to dim the lights a little bit, and we're going to give everybody the opportunity to come up and find a leader and to get prayed for if you'd like. So I want to encourage you to come up if you can.
Drowned in perfect love.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight, God. We thank you that you are good. And we thank you that you have a purpose for our lives, Lord. And we thank you that you are leading us and you are directing us every step of the way, Lord. We just pray that this summer we would be able to just grow close to you. That you would show us your love, God. That you would reveal yourself to us over the summer, Lord. That we would not grow stagnant over the summer, that we would not take a step back this summer, Lord. We pray that you would lead us and you would direct us and you would show us where to go, God. We're just going to sing the song one last time. And I want everybody to stand up. And we're just going to one last time.
And you unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song. And of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are. God. And I'm no longer a slave to fear, and I am a child of God. From my mother's womb chosen me, your love has called my name, and I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins, and I'm no
Lord, we thank you that we are your child, God. We thank you that you love us. We thank you so much for who you are, God. We love you so much. In your name, amen. All right, guys. Thanks for coming out tonight. Remember, Hayden is buying everybody Froyo. At Bliss.
Let's go.
So, head over there. If you don't have a ride over there, you're walking. No. We will figure something out. We will figure something out. We'll walk. Right, hang on just a second, all right? I'll get it later.
If you need a ride, do frozen
yogurt. You don't know where it's at? Oh, it's. Do you guys know where it's? Like 64th and Sims in that little strip mall area.